More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for Smart Money Happy Hour. Pull up a chair. It's the happy hour you wish your friends were having.
Mix two money experts with some hot takes and a splash of nostalgia, and you get me, George Camel.
And me, Rachel Cruz, talking unfiltered about what's going on in the world, pop culture, and how to afford a life you love.
We're talking money, celebrity budgets, and my budget for my two French bulldogs. It's a lot.
You'll hear it all on Smart Money Happy Hour. Listen on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Buck Brief. We're going to talk about the ongoing war in Gaza and what the implications of this are likely to be in the days ahead. First of all, you've probably seen the photos of very heavy damage to parts of the main areas, inhabited areas of Gaza, serious destruction from these airstrikes. Israelis have called up 300,000 reservists, and they're going to be making their way through what will be a hellish urban warfare landscape. This is a part of what's coming that I think not that many people have really prepared for. This group, Hamas, is a guerrilla warfare unit, essentially. I mean, this is what they train in. Unconventional, obviously, terrorist tactics, but they'll be using their familiarity with this terrain and their ability to set up in advance to try to bring about heavy Israeli casualties in these forces. We also know that they have hostages that they have seized. Over 150 is the reporting that we've seen so far, and there are a number of missions and efforts underway to try to get those hostages. That obviously complicates matters, though, because you don't want to have hostages who are casualties from, say, an airstrike in this process. So there have to be precautions taken as a result of that, as well as the Israelis taking precautions to limit general civilian casualties to the greatest degree possible in Gaza. But I do think that given the atrocities that Hamas has committed against Gaza, the atrocities in the attack, the sneak attack that we've seen, I'm sorry, that Hamas committed against Israel, the Israelis are going to be even more willing to go with attacks and strikes that have risks. There will be risks entailed in these moves. There'll be risks to some of the civilian population. We know that there is an effort to try to get some of these civilians out through Egypt, through the land border crossing. Understandably, there's a lot of complications here with who you're going to let out. Are you going to let out people who are claiming to just be innocent civilians, but they're actually Hamas fighters? I think that Israel's ability here to both bring together its intelligence, air superiority, and its exceptionally capable ground forces means that it is up for this fight. It is ready to take this fight to the enemy. But this could get very complicated very quickly if that northern front with Hezbollah were to open up. Hezbollah is better armed, better equipped, better trained than Hamas is, and would be able to fire so many rockets, so many missiles at Israel, that it would overwhelm some of the capabilities of the Iron Dome. Iron Dome is obviously not a perfect system. Sometimes there are things that, well, there are rockets, there are missiles that will get through and those cause civilian casualties and damage. So the possibility of Hezbollah entering this conflict is that's a very concerning development. It's why Tony Blinken has gone over to this part of the world. That's why Tony Blinken is over there negotiating right now, trying to do what he can on behalf of the Biden administration to prevent this escalation into a wider war. Because the way things go here, if it's dominoes, you have Hamas already igniting this conflict with the most horrific terrorist attack we've seen since 9/11. Now you have the possibility of Hezbollah entering. Remember, Hezbollah is a proxy force, effectively, of Iran. It is an extension of Iranian aims in the region. And Hezbollah works very closely and is trained by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard's Quds Force. Quds Force, Quds, by the way, means Jerusalem in Arabic, I think it's probably the same in Farsi. I don't know. But point is, Quds Force is about Jerusalem. And they use IRGC Quds Force training. That's the external operations arm of the IRGC. They have made Hezbollah's capabilities even stronger, even higher than they would otherwise be just through direct resource support, you know, giving them munitions, things like that. So they have advanced tactics, explosives, training. So Hezbollah expanding would be a major escalation. Beyond that, there's the very real possibility that you could see more direct Iranian involvement. Remember, the Iranians have sent militia into Iraq, or they've really trained and then infiltrated their own militias into Iraq. They have sent fighters to Syria. They have backed the Houthi militants in Yemen. So and a lot of this through the IRGC Quds Force. So Iran has longstanding practice and ties of assisting these terrorist elements in the region directly with men, materiel, and force. So we could see that. Now, what would the Israeli response be? What happens if Israel starts going after Iran directly? We will discuss this more in a second. You know, we're seeing where the budget is, and we're seeing where the deficit is going. Another massive increase in our nation's debt. It's only going to cause future interest rates to rise again. Our government's going to print and borrow more money, decreasing the value of our dollar further. You're powerless in all of this and left to protect the value of your savings and retirement accounts with, well, what exactly? You got to think of a strategy. Purchasing gold is your best strategy. You can purchase it directly for your 401k, for instance. And of course, you can always purchase and take possession of physical gold. Call the Oxford Gold Group. It's who I use. It's who I trust. The call is free, and the people on the receiving end of the call are knowledgeable and trustworthy. 833-707-GOLD, 833-707-G-O-L-D. They make it easy. They've been at this a long time. They can arrange for easy, discreet delivery to your home. One more time with that number, 833-707-G-O-L-D, the Oxford Gold Group, 833-707-GOLD. So Blinken is over there right now in the Middle East, and he's doing what he can to try to prevent this from being a broader war. So he's in Israel trying to discuss what the next steps are. Obviously, we're taking a position of solidarity here with the Israelis, as we should. Israel is on the side of civilization. Hamas is on the side of barbarism. In this conflict, I think it couldn't be more clear. And so this is the way the U.S. should be acting. We should be going to the aid of our ally Israel, doing everything that we can. But we also don't want this to expand into a broader conflict, bring about a whole lot more casualties, and create much more destruction in the region. This is a war between Israel and Hamas right now. We do not want it to be a war between Israel and Hamas and then a bunch of others coming in on Hamas's behalf. We also have to be aware of the extent to which we're willing to engage here and what we're willing to do on behalf of our ally. As we know, U.S. entanglements in the Middle East now for decades have brought us to some very, very unwise places in terms of what our strategy has been, whether it's the 20-year war in Afghanistan, the regime change war in Iraq, the regime change war in Libya. So there's a little bit of a hesitation, I think, and rightly so, whenever you're talking about matters of war and peace, how involved are we going to get in this? I'm sure there'll be special operations, off books, so to speak, working closely with the Israelis. That would be my expectation. That's the right thing. But I think there also will be some limitations placed on how far we're willing to go on behalf of our ally Israel here. Basically, you know, we don't want the U.S. to directly engage in this war. The Israelis can handle it. We're going to give them the materiel, the support, the intelligence assistance, whatever it is that they need in order to bring about the most efficient conclusion to this conflict once they have achieved the goal, which is the eradication of Hamas. And that should be the goal on all of this. I want to talk about Biden, though, for a second here and what this is all a reminder of. Biden as commander in chief. Will we see a new currency system introduced by the Biden administration before the end of the year? According to former Wall Street insider and digital currency expert Tika Tiwari, that could well happen. We might see Biden administration members introducing a new digital dollar. The business publication Business Insider has also confirmed this, saying the U.S. Treasury's efforts to create a U.S. digital currency could be imminent. Tika Tiwari believes the official announcement could come sometime this fall. That's why he's posted an online video to help you prepare. See it at a website set up that's just for this purpose. Go to dollarrecall.com, watch the video the mainstream media doesn't want you to see, and learn how to opt out of this digital dollar. That website, again, is dollarrecall.com, dollarrecall.com, paid for by Palm Beach Research Group. Now, Joe Biden's the president. He is the commander-in-chief. This is a moment where the decision-making of Joe Biden as commander-in-chief could have major implications for a lot of people, could be a difference maker in a whole range of ways. And you'd like to think, you'd like to believe that you have with Joe Biden somebody who has a baseline of competency, who has a baseline understanding of what the regional issues are. But then you look at this guy and you realize he's not just too old to be president. And I mean cognitively too old. I mean mentally. He's too old to do any job that's stressful and requires judgment, endurance, and ability to, you know, really focus and have tremendous energy to expend on something. He's too old to have for any of that. And so this goes back to what a crazy situation we're in here, because I still do believe that the Democrat mindset is, as long as it's not Trump, it's fine, and therefore will support Joe Biden. They will push for Joe Biden. They will do everything they can in order to make sure that he is the president of the United States, because they figure that the system is what's really going to run things. So it doesn't matter whether Biden is capable or not. It doesn't matter whether Biden actually is in a position to make decisions that are for the benefit of the country, right? Because other people are going to be the ones that are making the real calls. But when you start to see now a second war break out, right? We already have Ukraine-Russia, and that's something of in a stalemate situation. It's trench warfare. I get it. We already have that underway. And I think you can make a very clear case that, or make a very strong case that this would not have occurred if Donald Trump was president. I do think that that's fair. I do not think that Vladimir Putin would have gone into Russia the way that he did if Trump were president. I think with Biden, he saw weakness. He saw somebody who he could see steps ahead he could see several moves ahead on the chessboard and was not concerned about what the response would be. So this is where you realize the term, the title Commander-in-Chief, it has real meaning. It has real meaning. This is the guy who, pardon the expression, the buck is supposed to stop with. And with Russia-Ukraine, we're having massive expenditures, and there's always in the background the possibility of some miscalculation or escalation there. There is no end in sight to that conflict, and that has happened on Biden's watch. And now we have, hopefully, the ability to contain what's going on with Israel and Gaza, but beyond, you know, beyond the immediate, we don't know what's going to happen. Right? We don't know what's going to happen in this war between Israel and Hamas. And to have Biden and some of his senior advisors be the ones that are supposed to be helping to calm things down and to help our allies, help Israel face down this evil and make sure that it doesn't turn into a broader conflagration. I don't have faith in the Biden administration. I don't have faith in the people who are calling the shots and who are in charge. So I think it's important that we all see this for what it is. This is an incompetent Biden administration with a weak foreign policy. The only places on foreign policy that it has done a good job are things that are effectively a continuation of Trump policies, like with China. So it just didn't mess things up. But that's not something I think that people would necessarily view as inherently something to celebrate, right? I mean, just not destroying things that's not a very high bar. So I'm continuing to watch this very closely, and am very hopeful the Israelis are able to eradicate Hamas, capture or kill all leadership, and end this threat to their south once and for all without Hezbollah or any of the other players getting further involved in it. And we'll watch this closely. Just one more word from a sponsor before we go here. As you see, I shaved once this week. You know what I used? One Blade Shave. I know it's starting to grow back a little bit, but you see, One Blade is super high quality stuff. Big razor companies have been lying to us for decades, saying that more blades equals better shaves, but it's just not true. And those blades are tearing up your skin. One Blade's state-of-the-art, award-winning razor design makes single-edge shaving completely natural and effortless. These razors have a patented pivoted head that hugs the skin, ensures the blade is always the correct angle all by itself. One Blade's refill plan means you'll get blades sent directly to your door whenever you need them. Get a discount on your blades with your sign-up. All orders have a 60-day return policy, whether you use all of your blades or none of your blades. To elevate your shave experience, get 20% off your One Blade order. Go online to onebladeshave.com/buck. That's one spelled out, O-N-E, onebladeshave.com/buck to get 20% off your first order. That's the Buck Brief. Shields high.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.